In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today is the feast of St. Matthew, apostle and martyr. Oh yes, God came to seek and save those who were lost. Matthew was lost. He was a tax collector working for Rome, and he pocketed money himself. Matthew was lost. And Jesus went to that tax booth, looked him in the eyes, and says, "Come and follow me." And immediately Matthew left to follow Jesus. Are you following Jesus today? Are you giving your life to Jesus today? Do you know the power of Jesus today? Oh yes, Matthew, the first thing he did was to have a party of all the tax collectors and sinners. And there was Jesus at the head of the table, and I'm sure he had his fishing net out, and he was fishing for the souls of the people around the table. Oh yes, he came to seek and save that which was lost. Are you lost today? Well, he came for you. He came for you. Just call on his name, Jesus. 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 I'm looking at the third chapter of Mark, verse 13. Jesus went up the mountain and called to himself those whom he loved. Do you know that you're one of the ones? And I am one of the ones that are loved by Jesus. Do you know that today? You say, "I hope so." Well, the cross tells me I know so. I know so. He died for you, and he died for me. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named as apostles, to be with him and to be sent out to proclaim the message. Oh, yes, the apostles were sent out. I tell you, we gain more disciples when we are sent out rather than being in only the place that we're comfortable in. I'm going to Providence, Rhode Island on next Friday. It's my birthday on the 29th of September. I haven't preached outside of Holy Rosary for many years, and now I'm going to Providence, Rhode Island with Maria Vadia. I will be there on Friday night, and I will preach to the children that are there. It will be the first time that I'm preaching outside of Holy Rosary in a long time. And he sent them out to proclaim the message and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12, Simon, whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. I just don't understand how Jesus had Judas holding the money bag. But you know what? If Jesus did it, it was perfect. And he used to steal from the money bag. Jesus knew that. Oh yes, you know, the ideas of Jesus are very different than the ideas of people. Then he went home, and what do you think is going to be there? And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. Wherever Jesus goes, there's going to be that crowd. There's going to be that crowd, yes, where they cannot even eat. Why? They want to be touched by the Lord. I was just told yesterday that many years ago there was a baby with inverted eyes. I don't know what that means, inverted pupils. And they told me yesterday, someone told me yesterday or the day before, I held that baby. I just held that baby. And they said I sang. They took the child back to the doctors and the eyes were perfect. Now this happened years and years ago, and I'm just finding out about that. That's amazing. That's amazing. People want to touch Jesus. People need to touch Jesus. There will always be a crowd when people hear of healing services. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying he has gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. You can't cast out demons by demons. A house divided among itself will fall. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. You know, I just know that God works through many ministries that are Catholic. And I'm not going to throw down any of them. Somebody might be throwing me down, saying I become more Protestant. I'm a Catholic. I love the Word of God. It's nothing to do with being a Protestant. Though I have learned very many things from my Protestant brothers and sisters. Oh, yes. Starting with Catherine Kuhlman. Oh, yes. I am a Catholic that has learned from many Protestants. That's real. But I'm a Catholic. I will not throw down another ministry. You know why? God works through that ministry. And if that ministry throws me down, that's their problem. That's their problem. It's not my problem. Let their ministry be blessed 100-fold. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come, and no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never find forgiveness. If you're afraid that you've done it, you haven't. It's accepting forgiveness from God, and the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the final rejection of God's forgiveness and grace. So don't even think about it. Oh, I was once tormented with that I had done it. And I remember going to a priest and he said, it's rejecting forgiveness on your deathbed. And I continue. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he was and had an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. We know that in the Holy Land, cousins were called sisters and brothers. Mary never had any more children. That's what we believe. I know it to be true. But you know what? If you know anything about the Holy Land, Muslims call Christians their brother and sister. I've seen it. Christians call Muslims their brothers and sisters. And he replied, "Who are my mother and who are my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is mother, brother, and sister to me." Whoever does the will of God. Does Mary do the will of God? Okay, I'm going to ask you again. Does Mary do the will of God? Well, is she his mother spiritually? And the word says, at the incarnation, she said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." She said yes to the Holy Spirit. Then she goes to Elizabeth's house to help her because Elizabeth is old. Then, with Simeon, she said that he said to her that a sword was going to pierce her soul, and that happened under the cross. Then, the wedding at Cana, they have no wine. Mary said, "Do whatever he tells you to." Mary's under the cross. Neat the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And also, she is with the apostles at Pentecost. They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. I tell you, Mary is really the mother of Jesus, not only physically, but spiritually. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, because they were pushing, they were shoving. They want to touch him. You know, when you're desperate, you do things that are crazy. You do things that are, when you're desperate. And I'm going to tell you, I'm desperate for Jesus. I'm desperate for his touch. I'm desperate to go on with him. I'm desperate. And you know what? He put that desperation in my heart that I cannot do and live without Jesus. The worst thing for me that could happen is that I leave Jesus. He'll never leave me. There's nothing worse than that. I am desperate for Jesus. Are you? I am desperate, and I'm not afraid to say that. That I need him 100%. While the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, he began to teach them many things in parables. Okay, he's in the boat, he's preaching, they're all by the seashore, and he's going to talk to them in parables. And he said to them, "Listen, a sower," that's someone who plants seeds, "went out to sow, and he sowed some seed that fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. But other seed fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. That was a lot of yield for the Holy Land. And he said, "Let anyone who have ears hear and listen." I'm telling you, we need to listen to Jesus. When he says, when anyone has ears, let him listen, he's talking to you and he's talking to me. Do you have ears to listen? When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the other parables? The sower sows the word of God." I'm a sower. Today I'm sowing the word of God. "These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately," there's that word again, "receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." Immediately. There's that word again. "Others are those sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word of God, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire of other things come in to choke the word, and it yields nothing. These are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Oh, yes. Are you hearing the word of God today, that you are loved with an everlasting love? Are you accepting that word on good soil? Are you hearing the word of God today, that Jesus wants to call you his sister if you do the will of the Father? Are you hearing the word of God today? Will you be bearing fruit? Oh, yes. Will you be bearing fruit? I tell you, that's the whole purpose of the Christian life, is to be near Jesus and to bear fruit. And it tells us in the 15th chapter of John that your fruit would last, lasting fruit. He said to them, "Is the lamp brought in to be put under a bushel basket or under the bed, and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is there anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears hear and listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you." Well, how do you give? Do you give pennies? Do you give your tithe? The measure that you give will be the measure that is given back to you and more beside. Catholics have not been taught how to give. It's just like that. We think that putting the dollar in the basket is what it's about. I tell you, in 1968, I was putting $5 in the basket. It still wasn't tithing. But $5 meant a lot in 1968. In 1968, $5 meant a lot. I learned tithing in the seminary. When I had so little money, I would give 10% to the poor. "For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have not, even what they have will be taken away." Don't let your treasure be, your heart be where your treasure is. You know, it doesn't have to be money. It can be a gold pen. "This gold pen is mine. I'm never going to let anyone see it." I tell you, that is your God. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. And he also said the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with the sickle, because the harvest has come. I tell you, there is a harvest of people today. Some people listening to me today have no idea of who Jesus is, and they are desperate, and they just have to call on the name of Jesus. Come into my life, Jesus. Free me from sin, Jesus. Give me the Holy Spirit, Jesus. I tell you, there are people listening to me today that are absolutely desperate. They've reached the end of their rope. Well, I tell you, guess who's on the other end of the rope? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. That's who's on the other end of the rope. You see, we don't have that vision that tells us wherever we are, there is Jesus, and he loves us wherever we are. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. It's as big as the head of a pin. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them except in parables. But he explained everything in private to his disciples. I tell you, we need to understand the Word of God. God has given Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us that authority, the church. Unfortunately, we do not use that authority. Unfortunately, we do not know of that authority. Oh yes, the Mass is the most important thing the priest does. That's real. But from the Mass flows authority. Authority to catch people. Authority to cast out demons. Authority to heal the sick. I told you about the little girl. That happened years ago. She's all grown up. Maybe she's 15 or 16. Maybe she's 15 or 16. I want everyone to wish Father Matthew a happy feast day today. Happy feast day, Father Matthew. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, he took with him in the boat. They took him in the boat just as he was. You know, that's a word that has always stayed with me. They took him in the boat just as he was. Do we take Jesus into our hearts the way he is? He's got authority. He casts out demons. He heals the sick. He forgives sin. Do we take Jesus into our lives the way he is? The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.